You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, it's so good to be here with you today. Today, I've got a message that I feel really God has placed on my heart, not just for today, but I truly believe that this is going to be life-changing, like life-shaking. It's going to change the way that you see what you've got, what God's given to you. And so this morning's message is called Good Stewards. How good's that? Good steward, not stewards. Good steward. Dudes, good stewards. Had it's Father's Day, right? It's my best dad joke that I could come up with. Good stewards. No. Goodness me. So let me start with this today. Some people see this sort of language here, good stewards, and the first thing that you think of, because if your childhood was anything like mine, when you talked about stewards, you heard it around stewardship. Stewardship, and mainly when people were talking about stewardship, they were talking about money. And I'm going to sort of pop a bit of opinion that this morning and blow that balloon up, because it's not just about money. Being good stewards, that's one of the things, but there's so much more to what it means to being a good steward. And so maybe if you could ask yourself this question right now, what's my role in stewardship? Now, I don't expect you to have all the answers to this right now. And so maybe you've got some answers that you've just come up with as you're asking yourself this. Maybe you're like, I don't even know. What I'd love for you to do is, as we get to the end of today, ask yourself that question again. What's my role in being a good steward? And my hope is for you, as you're walking out of this place, there is a new foundation that you're going to be walking on with your understanding towards being a good steward. Amen? Good. Let me say this. As Christians, you are God's stewards, appointed by Him to look after His interests in the world. Now, His interests are the people that He created and sent His Son to save. There's some of his interests. His interests are the world that He created. His interests are the church and all of her beauty. And we're called to be stewards of, yes, some of those things. See, this stewardship applies to each of us, each and every single one of us, taking purposeful responsibility in looking after the spiritual, the physical, and the material things that God has given you and I. Purposeful responsibility. This includes our call in sharing the good news of Jesus and caring for God's people. And let's not stop there, caring for all people. Amen? To what we've been called to do. It's God's heart that we learn to carry out these responsibilities with joy and diligence. Maybe two words that don't often go within the same sentence. Joy and diligence. Carrying those things out together. There is a blessing in carrying out God's word. You're like, well, that seems like just a statement that you've put out there. We'll get to that in the word in a second. But if you're taking notes this morning, put a highlight over that one. There is a blessing in carrying out God's word. You're going to find some truth around. When you actually outwork God's word, there is a blessing that comes upon you. And I want to spend some time today clearly looking at what is it that I'm supposed to steward, and what does stewarding look like? And where do the things come from that I'm called to steward? And to begin to answer some of these things, we need to start at the beginning. Literally, we need to start at the beginning. In Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we begin to talk about who owns what and where does it come from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything in heaven and everything on earth was created by God. So if anybody owns something, it would have to be the Creator. If anybody owns everything, it would have to be the Creator. In the beginning, that's why I'm saying literally, we need to go back to the beginning to actually understand what it is we're called to steward and who actually gives it to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and literally everything in between. All his creation. Everything that was created in the heavens and earth was created by God for God. And from the beginning, all things created and all humans being created, I want to say this very clearly. He had a plan for us. He has a plan for you. He didn't just create us to walk around like Sims in a little game. No. There is a perfect plan that he has for each and every single one of us, a purposed plan. Let's jump forward a little bit, and you're like, oh, prove that. Well, you know what? I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it to each of us today. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. So this is not long after the beginning. This is what it says. This is God speaking. Now let us conceive a new creation, humanity, made in our image, that's in the image of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, fashioned according to our likeness, and let us grant them authority over all the earth, the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the domesticated animals and the small creeping creatures of the earth. Why did he have to include the small creeping creatures? Like the spiders and the small snakes and... Oh, that's just in Australia. We're blessed. We're just in Australia. We're blessed with those things. Amen. So God did just that. He created humanity in his image, created them male and female. That's a whole nother sermon right there, right? Yeah. Then God blessed them and gave them this directive. Be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth. I make you trustees of my estate. So care for my creation and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that roams the earth. God has had a purpose for us right from the very beginning. That word trustees, just as you put that last scripture back up, that word trustees, verse 28, that word trustees is very, very, very connected to stewardship. In fact, it's actually the same thing. And we'll look at some other words around that later. But trustees and stewardship, I've called you to be trustees to care for. Not to dominate it, not to have dominion over it, as some other translations may have actually presented it, to care for it. To steward it to the next generation. To leave it better than when you got it. To leave your church congregation better than when you first joined it. Amen. We have a responsibility, every single one of us, to be trustees of his estate. This church body is part of his estate. Your workplace is part of his estate. Your family is part of his estate. Your sports club is part of his estate. So yeah, but it's run by a president and a board. I get it. Everything has to have a leadership structure. But we're not talking about leadership structures. We're talking about heavens and earth are his estate, and he's called us to care for it. Amen? As trustees. How good is God? I'm building a little bit of a foundation for us this morning. See, David continues to develop our understanding in Psalms 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all of its people belong to him. I love these scriptures because it just cuts through everything, cuts through all the noise and tells us exactly what's going on. The earth and everything in it is the Lord's. All the people, they all belong to God. They're his creation. Then he takes it a step further in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10. That's what it says. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you. alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you gave us first. And we're going to pull this apart in a second. But I'm bringing you to this place where you understand that everything that you hold in your world, whether you hold it like this or hold it like that, it doesn't diminish the fact that God is the creator of all things, the giver of all things. And when we give back to him, we're just giving back what he gave us first. Amen? Oh, but I went to work for that. I get it. But who gave you the job in the first place? Was it your boss opening a door? Or did God literally open a door for you to walk into the job that you've got, the dream job that you've got in some cases in this room? It's like you couldn't have fought, you couldn't have struggled, you couldn't have strived to get to where you are. Only God has opened up that door, amen? And you're like, well, that's not the same for me right now. I encourage you, as you learn to be a steward of what you've got, watch what God can actually do when you acknowledge what you've got. We'll break that down a little bit. I'm jumping ahead a bit too far. I'm getting excited. So from the beginning of time, the mandate for humanity was to be stewards. That was the mandate from the beginning of time, to be trustees of everything that God had created. And we're going to round out this foundation in the New Testament. 1 Peter verse 4, 8 to 10 says this: above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Hello. Hello. It's like, oh, so-and-so invited someone for dinner. Here, have your sausages and mash. No, hospitable hearts, big hearts that love and show God's heart. As each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, just reading that in itself, so that's really good. I perceive that to be a really simple directive. Okay. God's given me a gift and I need to minister it to someone else. And in return, somebody else has got a gift and they're going to minister it to me. And let's just open up. We're not talking about money today, right? We're talking about God gives gifts, a lot of different gifts, and he's called us to steward those things so we can actually mutually share it backwards and forth with people that need it. Can we put that scripture back up, please? Thank you. And so we look at this verse 10 here. Now, I just want to encourage you. Thank you. That's better. This word manifold. Now, there's some people in the room right now who are like, that's on a car, right? Like the manifolds on the car. It's connected to the motor, right? Someone else is thinking of something else. So this word manifold grace, that word manifold actually talks about many and varied gifts. Many and varied graces. God has given you many and varied graces from God, and he's calling you to be a good steward of the many and varied graces from God. That's what he's actually calling each and every single one of us to do. This manifold grace to steward and serve others. You know, stewards serve others. And they serve the gift that God has actually graced them with. This word stewards, let's break it down a little bit further. What does this word stewards mean? There's words that are connected and linked to it that are going to help you understand. We see the word custodians, trustees, agents and providers of love, hospitality, gifts, and grace. So when you connect those last things from the scripture there, it's like I'm a custodian of love, and I need to actually love others because it covers a multitude of sins. I'm a custodian of hospitality. I need to truly provide spaces for people to know the true hospitality and love of God. Stewards are custodians and trustees, the agents and providers of every gift that God has given to them. Is it making you see your life a little bit different right now? She's like, oh, I've got this one gift. I can talk to people really, really well. What a powerful gift to serve with other people. People who struggle to be in conversations, you get to actually facilitate a space where they can breathe and be comfortable because you know how to facilitate that space. I just know how to talk to people. There's some people in this room that be like, I would give up every single gift that I have if I could have that one gift of feeling comfortable to be in a conversation. Some people are like, yeah, yes. Can we pray for that afterwards? You know, I started to think about, you know, what is the manifold grace of God in my life? What have I been called to steward? And it's not something that we pause long enough to actually think about. And so can we put up, there's a circle with some stuff in the middle of it. This is me looking at my life. This is me asking the question, what is it? What are the manifold gifts of grace that I perceive? You may think some other things about me, but this is what I think about me. All right? And so I began to look at salvation. I began to look at there's gifts that God has, spiritual gifts and natural gifts that God's put inside of me. There's love inside of me. There's work that I'm committed to during the week. There's family that God has called me to steward. There's service to others that God has called me to steward. There's children that God has called me to steward. That's a gift in itself, amen. To steward children, to do that well, that's a gift. In fact, let's just wipe everything out and just put that big in the middle as a gift that God has actually put upon us to actually look after our children. The environment. So, don't start talking about the environment, Pastor Lee. I just want to encourage you. Like, forget about what you read in the newspaper. Forget about what you see on the TV. Forget about what you see in conspiracy theories on Facebook. Let's just wipe all of that aside for a moment. And let's go back to Genesis 1. God created everything. Heaven and earth. And in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, he deliberately calls us, each and every single one of us, to be trustees of his estate and care for it. You hear where I'm coming from? So little things like not throwing stuff out the window, little things like when you walk down the street and you see trash. It's like, I'm a custodian of his estate. And I understand that it's somebody else's trash. And I understand that really what I really want to do is sort of like give him a bit of a clip. Because it's like, you're throwing rubbish. Like, come on, what are you doing? But if I was to act like that, I'm acting in judgment and not in love. And then I would think back and I would think, did I do that when I was younger? Yeah, I did. And love covers a multitude of sins, amen? It, like, back this way as well. And I want to encourage you that you might look at some of these things and it's like, oh, talents and treasure that God's given, a spouse and time and friends and every good thing in my world is a gift that God has actually called me to steward well, to be a custodian of, to truly look after those many and varied graces that he's actually placed into my hands. See, within this circle, God pours out his grace and provision, his blessings within, and that circle represents my life, my spirit, my soul, physically, emotionally. And God calls me to actually look after those things, not as in their mind, because we have the understanding that everything between heaven and earth is created by God and is God's, and he graciously reveals it to us to take care of. But we've been called to steward things in our life. Been called to take care of things that God has revealed in your life. I put it to some of us this morning, and the reason I can put it to you is because I've done this myself at different times. Have you separated some of these things outside of the circle and created another circle? Because you're like, that thing is really challenging, that thing is really tough, I'm struggling to deal with that. In fact, I perceive it as not even a gift from God anymore. I'm removing it to the outside. I'm taking it away from a stewardship position. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with it. Perhaps you've separated some of these things as holy and secular. Well, the God stuff, yeah, that fits inside the manifold grace, but the work stuff and commitments in the community, that's secular. Now, God's called us to one holy calling. We've taught on this a little bit. God's called us to one holy calling. There's not holy and secular. There's a holy calling that God has called us to. And so I want to encourage you that maybe you've begun to separate some things. You know, my children right now, I don't perceive them to be a gift from God. I'm taking them outside of the circle. They're like, it's too challenging. Or maybe you're like your home life and you're like, it is so difficult that I'm taking it outside of the circle. I'm putting it in the secular, I don't want to know about space. I'll focus on the things that make me happy. The things that make me happy must be a gift that I'm called to steward. Now, the things that make you happy and the things that make you sad are all things that we've actually been called to steward. There are seasons that we go through, and God calls us to steward them well, regardless of mountain high, valley low, and everything else in between. Amen? All these things and more are a gift from God that fits within one circle of the manifold grace of God. Maybe you're even sitting in this room now and you're like, I've heard what you said, but Pastor, the things that you have in your circle, they are definitely not a blessing in my circle. They're a challenge. In fact, they're a challenge that is greater than the Ninja Warrior course. I could take the Ninja Warrior course, but I can't take this challenge in my circle right now. Now, I want to talk for a brief moment about choices and consequences. Cool. Do we have to? Yeah, we do. We do need to talk about choices and consequences just for a moment. The reason I want to talk about them is this: they don't have to be reminders of bad decisions. Your choices don't have to be reminders of bad decisions. They don't have to be things that you try and put into a different circle. The consequences don't have to be consequences forever. I'll say that again. The consequences don't have to be consequences forever. You can work through those things. God can come and meet you and trace your steps, as the song said this morning. He can trace your steps and grab you and actually walk you through those choices, walk you through those consequences so that you come out the other side strengthened, so that it becomes a testimony rather than a bad choice. Do we want to choose things just so we can have a testimony? Of course not. You can have all those testimonies. My testimony can be salvation, amen? And the reason I say that they can be testimonies is this: that God can redeem and restore gifts. Maybe something that was once a gift, maybe you made some choices, and because of the choices you made, the thing that was once a gift has been something that you just have utter disdain towards. But God can actually reach into that gift and reignite it and restore it and heal it again, so it becomes a gift, a manifold gift again. I hope right now you're thinking about things in your own life, things that you've looked at in the past and just gone, I hate it. I hate this thing. What if the very thing that you're verbally speaking hate over was originally a gift that you were called to steward? It's time to actually speak into those things that you have disdain for, or hardness or coldness to, and begin to speak words of God. God, if this is a gift from you, redeem it. God, if this is a gift from you, restore it. I want to steward it again like you've called me to steward it. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to intervene for a moment. Let's lift the moment, amen? You know, In Luke 11, don't put the scriptures out yet, but in Luke 11, Jesus had just set this person free who couldn't speak. They were mute. And people were amazed, and some even then began debating where his power came from. And people were like, your power comes from the devil. And he's just like... So then he goes to teach clearly about spirits and being in unity and oneness with God's spirit and oneness with God's power. Just paints it really clear about where his power came from. Now, this would have to be, like, if we were ranking top five strange ministry moments, this would have to be in the top five strange ministry moments of Jesus. After teaching, this voice calls out from the crowd, and I can only imagine that Jesus had just shared this profound teaching, and then it just goes quiet because everyone's just like, and it goes so quiet. And perhaps the quietness was for a little bit too long. And then there's somebody in the crowd who just can't handle how quiet it is. What do we do now? Someone needs to say something. Let's make it about something else. Because this is actually now getting really awkward. And this is what happened. In Luke 11, 27, this is what happened. As he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother and the womb which you came and the breast that nursed you. What just happened? That has nothing to do with what I just said. But Jesus in his loving kindness. That's top five right there. Maybe even top three. Maybe even it's number one on the top five strange ministry moments of Jesus. Look, what just happened? It's weird, right? Super weird. But verse 28, Jesus in his grace, Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. So I may be blessed because of the womb that I came from and the breast that nursed me, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. You can see why I've read this out now, right? You can hear these truths around stewardship. You can hear these truths around being a custodian and a trustee of what God graciously provides for you, the manifold gifts of God, the many and varied gifts that God has, and he places them in here. But I interview him with this biblical truth to draw attention. God has placed in you gifts and talents and love and passions, and he has gifted and provided them to you and poured them out in your life as a blessing to serve to others, not just for you. In the midst of where you are right now, know where your freedom comes from. Know where your power comes from. Hear the word of God this morning and put it into practice, because when you do, more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. See, at the beginning I said that blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. It's scriptural today. More blessed are those who hear the word of God and don't just hear it and go, that is really good. In fact, this is really good for my wife. My wife needs to hear this. And I'm going to help her and keep her accountable in outworking the practices of what I'm hearing right now. No, 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 no. Although that may be true, the only person who can implement change and practice is the hearer. The hearer. So if you heard it before they did, it's probably for you to implement the practice, because when you do, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed as you steward what God placed in your hands. See, stewards live their lives practicing godly truth and living by it daily. Stewards live their lives in pursuit of sharing their gifts with others. And so I say it again today, every good thing comes from God. He has given us some special things to look after. You have some special things in your life right now that God has called you to look after. He hasn't called us to guard it with fervent protection or fervent distaste for others, but fervent love and hospitable hearts. Amen. He's called us to pour out this immeasurable fervent love to one another, to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, I think that one of the reasons that people get to the place where they're being hospitable and grumbling at the same time, it actually comes down to because hospitality is sometimes very one-sided. Someone's got this, they've heard passages like this and they're like, I'm just so passionate to serve, so passionate to be hospitable, I'm so passionate to activate this practice and activate the heart of Jesus, and only to have other people not reciprocate. And at the beginning, it's okay. It's like, I'm just going to give them some space to outwork it. And maybe one day they'll sort of start to mutually reciprocate that hospitality and make space for me when I'm in my challenging time as well. And they don't. And the scripture says, be hospitable to one another. It's a both ways thing. So the encouragement for you today is to steward what you do have. This really is about how you see yourself. Do you see yourself as redeemed and victorious in Jesus? Or on the back foot and living in lack and unable to love back? You are redeemed and you are victorious in Jesus when you have Jesus in your heart. It's about how you see yourself. Lack or stewarding, at the very least, as I was talking with someone this week, at the very least, stewarding salvation, at the very least. And some of us who have walked some challenging journeys would say, that would be enough if that's all I had. If all I had was to steward my salvation and share it and serve it to others, that would be enough. He's called us to pour out this immeasurable, fervent love, to show hospitality to one another without grumbling hearts. You know, if you find yourself in that place, I just want to encourage you, get before God. Let him just begin to soften your heart again. Connect yourself to some people who do actually reciprocate hospitality and love with each other, because it will empower you as you put yourself back in that place. You're redeemed, victorious. See, there may be truth and reason to why you are having the thoughts that you're having or feel the way that you do. But with salvation came the manifold grace of God. I want to encourage you that the feelings may be real, the thoughts may be real. Yes, those things did happen. But with salvation came the manifold grace of God. And with it came the provision of power and strength to choose new patterns, to put new patterns into practice, to hear the word of the Lord and to put it into practice. And so I say these things over you today. Choose faith over fear. Choose restoration over procrastination. Choose hope over despair. Choose stewardship over neglect or self-sufficiency. Choose service over self-preservation. Choose the manifold grace of God. So I want to encourage you today that what we really all need to do is acknowledge what we do have. I want to ask you today, acknowledge what you do have. Acknowledge the gifts that are in your life. Acknowledge what you do have. Because it's so easy to see what you don't have. It's so easy to see, I just wanted that to be taken care of. I wanted that to be done. I wanted that to be done. All the while, there's these things of beauty that you're actually meant to be stewarding. Relationships that are close to you, family members, your spouse, sowing into friendships around you, because one day one of those people could be your spouse. Ooh, hello. See, the way we deal with our everyday things, it does have a measure of how it's actually going to be poured into you. There's some scriptures that I'll touch on in a little bit that actually bring that to full understanding. What do you have? And when you realize what you do have, then the next step is look at it as the manifold grace of God. Look at it as the manifold grace of God, just as the team begins to come to the stage this morning. Learn to be discerning of what you do have. It's imperative to acknowledge what you do have. It's been given to you by God to take care of, to grow the gift, to steward it, to share it, to bless others with. It's a living, life-giving gift. Amen? Everything we have from him, it's a gift. In Luke 6:38, it says this. Now, I want to encourage you as we're reading this scripture. Do that with your thinking. Broaden your thinking for this very moment when you're reading this scripture. Don't look at it through the lens that maybe you've always looked at it, but look at it through the stewardship gift, amen? Given, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be the measured back to you. It will be measured back to you. Sounds really simple. You've heard it before. You probably, when you're in Sunday school, you might have sang a song about it. But the truth of the matter is that given, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And so you've got these things that you're trustees of. You've got these things that are gifts. You've got these things that are natural gifts, spiritual gifts, talents, a heart to love people, a heart to be hospitable. The measure in which you use it will determine the measure in which God actually reveals either new gifts or a more of an outflowing of those gifts that you're already activated in. Amen? Does that make sense? And so sometimes we can look, geez, I wish this, I had this activated in my life. And God's looking down, he's like, I've got so much more for you. Can you just pour out what you do have? Because as you pour out what you do have, that thing that you're looking at and you're like, I don't have that in my life. And he's looking at you going, I want it to be something in your life, but I can't give it to you until you pour out the gift that you do have. I need you to rise up a little bit. I need you to get a little bit mature in your following Jesus. I need you to get a little bit more mature in the way that you speak over things. I want you to pour out what you do have so that I can actually pour in. See, that thing that you're looking at, it's like, I wish I had that in my life. I don't have it in my life. That very thing that you're looking at, the reason you want it so much, we talk about godly things right now, it's a desire that God's actually placed in your heart. But for it to be released, you actually need to pour out what you do have according to the scriptures. Living as a generous steward with provision. He's graced you with it and he wants to measure it back to you in many and varied ways, not just one singular way, many and varied ways. Just as we close our eyes this morning, just as we come to the end, I've been compelled to share these truths with you. I want you and I to live in the freedom of all that God has generously provided to us. I want every generation to know. I want the generations to come to know. I want our ceiling to be their floor for the next generation. But I want this generation to live and walk in the freedom that God has for them with provision and gifts now as well. You know, it says in Psalm 78 verse 4 that we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of our Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God. The plans, the provision, the purposes, it comes from God. And each generation needs to know it anew and afresh. not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. No, that is not us. That is not our generation. Oh, no, it's not. When I say generation, I mean like if you're alive and breathing. This is our generation right now. This is the church generation right now. Steward the message. Steward the commission. Steward the gifts and treasure the steward. Steward the resource that God's given you. So I truly believe that we're called to be great stewards. You're called to be a great steward of God's provision. You're called to carry and outwork the gifts. You're called to impart to the generations. You're called to be a beacon light. You're called to walk in fruitfulness in every area of your life. You're called to fervently love. You're called to welcome people into spaces and be welcomed into spaces. You're called to minister gifts and steward His grace. You're a powerful part of the body. You've been strategically placed as a living stone in the church. You are outworking God's will faithfully in the small. Faithfully in the small. You're outworking God's will, and as He finds you faithful in the small, He releases the next layer of gifts and provisions for you to outwork for His commission and for His glory. Amen. Luke 11:28. Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Just with your eyes closed today, and whether you're watching online this morning or whether you're in the room this morning. So if you know Jesus personally, everything makes sense around this. You're like, yes, I understand now that I'm called to actually steward the gifts and the manifold grace that God gives me. But if you don't know Jesus yet, this doesn't make sense yet. But it can do. It can make sense. See, the first gift that God wants to give you is Jesus. He wants to give you forgiveness, salvation. He wants to forgive sin. He wants to restore your heart, restore your mind. But first, you need to know Jesus personally. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted Him into your heart and don't have a relationship, I want to give you the opportunity today to know Jesus personally. Just with every eye closed, every head bowed. You know, maybe you've made this decision before, but you've sort of been off your own journey. Maybe you've never ever responded to accept Jesus into your heart. The Bible says that simply to know forgiveness and have a relationship with God, simply we just need to confess that Jesus is Lord with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. So if that's you today with your eyes closed, if you're watching online, this is for you as well. This is for your response. Blessed is everyone who hears the word of God and puts it into practice. So if that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to give you opportunity to respond to Jesus. So I want that relationship with Him. All you need to do is put your hand up, put it back down straight away, and then we're going to pray a prayer together. So if that's you, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Anyone who just needs to say, I need Jesus. I need to get my heart in a place where I'm forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Yeah, awesome. Is anyone else today? So yeah, I need to do that as well. If you're online this morning, I want to encourage you, respond to this moment. Hear the word of God and respond to it. You're putting it into practice by lifting your hand up this morning. Once you put it up, you put it straight back down. So anyone else today? So yeah, I need to do that. I need to know God personally. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. So happy that people are responding to salvation. A personal relationship with God. Such a thing of beauty. Not having to go through somebody else. Not having to access it through your pastor. Accessing it yourself personally. God coming and residing in you. One last time. Is there anyone else? So yeah, that's me. I want to know Him personally. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. So good. So good. So good. With our eyes closed this morning, we're going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer of asking for forgiveness, prayer of confessing that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. Why don't we pray this one? Pray this after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That you sent Jesus.
That you sent Jesus.
That he died for me on the cross.
That he died for me on the cross.
That he forgave me of my sins.
That he forgave me of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I surrender my life.
I surrender my life.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
And believe with my heart.
And I believe with my heart.
That God raised Jesus.
That God raised Jesus.
And therefore, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
A son or a daughter.
A son or a daughter.
Of God the Father.
Of God the Father.
From this day on.
From this day on.
I choose to follow Jesus.
Choose to follow Jesus.
As a disciple.
As a disciple.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we put our hands together this morning? That is so awesome. Now, if you responded to Jesus for the first time, or you've done it before, but this is your line in the sand moment, right place, right time to get back following Jesus. I just want to encourage you at the end of the service, on the way out, there'll be some people at the door who have, if you don't have a Bible, take a Bible. In fact, for anybody, if you don't own a Bible, please take a Bible on the way out. But if you follow Jesus and you said the prayer, there's a Bible for it if you don't have one, but there's also a little booklet called First Steps. It's like, what do I do now that I'm choosing to follow Jesus? What's my next step in following Jesus? If you're watching online today, you can go to gc.org.au/first-steps. All the same information is there. You can get in contact with us through the website. We would love to encourage you in your discipleship journey. But if you're in this room, that's why we want to give you that little booklet too. We want to be able to see you step into everything that God has for you so you can steward the gift of salvation and everything else that he reveals. Amen? Awesome. God is so good. This is what I want to do. Today is a day of celebration. Can I encourage you, if you're going to be doing life alone this afternoon, can you, if you feel comfortable enough, approach somebody after the service and say, hey, can I hang out with you today? We've got some people coming over to our house. I just want to encourage you, invite some people over to your house. Don't do life alone today. Immerse yourself in a family somewhere, amen. This is the family of God. And whether you doing that is after the service out in the cafe, and that's your family time today, steward the moment, amen. Steward the moment. What do you have? A family and a body of Christ around.